Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. And welcome, seekers, to podcast number 142, actually episode number 142 of the podcast God Beyond the Bible, the podcast made by seekers and for seekers. And how about some shout outs?
Yeah, our shout outs today are to Ashton and Sarah. We are glad to have you guys listening. And I also wanted to send a special shout out to our listeners in Texas. We are glad to have you guys. There are a whole lot of towns and a whole lot of folks listening, and we're just glad to have you guys listening.
Awesome. Well, our quote this week is from an anonymous source. I don't know who said it, but it's a little good holiday advice. It says, the holiday season is a perfect time to reflect on our blessings and seek out ways to make life better for those around us.
Good. Well, were you about to say something, Tracy?
No. Okay. I like that quote, though.
Today's topic is Christmas. Now, not the biblical or religious elements. We're just going to talk about the tradition itself and the positive and negative experiences and the emotions associated with all these holiday traditions. Now, some may say, it's Christmas. How could there possibly be any negative emotions or stresses associated with such a wonderful tradition? Well, there's plenty of people that'll tell you otherwise.
And to those people, I say, quit your lying. You know.
I was going to say, they say that as they reach for that bottle of tequila.
Exactly.
Well, let's start by stating the obvious. Let's list some stressors associated with this holiday season. Of course, there's the most obvious one. That's money. And we feel guilty later if we spend too much. And we feel guilty sooner if we refuse to spend any. We can reduce the financial stress associated with this occasion. But can we eliminate it, short of refusing to celebrate it at all?
There are some interesting things. Like, I, you know, everyone on the compound area knows that my husband and I are doing a thrift shop and homemade Christmas. Everything we give this year.
I think that's pretty well what moms, I think most of her stuff, I haven't seen too many packages come rolling in here off of UPS.
Yeah, most of the
stuff,
things, so, you know, with the exception of like maybe one or two items that we absolutely could not find locally, everything's been found. And it's really cut down, one, on the amount of money, and two, on the stress, because it's been fun to go to the different flea markets and spend our Saturday walking around and going, oh, this looks like something this person would really like.
And you know, another thought of that, you're helping some local private merchant in a personal business. You're not contributing to the big box store, or the people that don't need, you're actually dealing with people that actually just really, you know, really need the money to keep their business going.
You keep things from being just tossed in a landfill somewhere, and you're not buying something in the what they call the fast fashion and things like that industry, where it's just people turning out millions of a product in a couple of days.
Well, we know as far as the purchasing goes, people all got shook up this year because of the shipping, and the shipping is messed up, and the mail is messed up, and so people are, I reckon there's just nothing short of, for some of the most sought after toys and stuff, they're just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's been crazy since like, Halloween?
Yeah.
I mean, it started this year. Okay, let's name some ways that the prospect of gathering with various groups of people can be stressful.
Well, I mean, let's face it, and I'm just going to put this out there. the family that you want to see, that you really get along with, and you see them all the time and you talk to them all the time.
You're connected to them, yeah, all the time.
If I don't have anything to do with you the rest of the year, why do you think that I should have to spend my Christmas with you?
I had to have this discussion with your mom several years ago. I said, why would I invite those people into my house at what's supposed to be the joyous time of the year when they don't come to my house any other time? In fact, I don't invite them any other time. Now, that sounds harsh and cruel, but I'm being brutally honest.
And let's be honest. When we start talking about those extended family gatherings that we all know about, we've all been a part of, there is not a single person listening or sitting around this table that when I say, who's the one who's going to show up late or not show up at all, even though they were supposed to bring something?
And we're going to delay the dinner. We're going to delay the
whole. Oh, so who's going to make the smart alecky, rude, hurtful comments off in the corner?
Uh huh.
And know, who's going to talk about someone as soon as they leave?
I don't know about you guys. I can live without it. Yes. My life is good without any of that.
Well, and frankly, I don't do well in large groups of people anyway. I love to hang out. I love to visit, but
I'm more the one-on-one.
It needs to be a couple of people. Yeah.
I'm more that. Is the increased consumption of alcohol associated with the month of December an indicator of the stress?
And unfortunately, so is the increase in homicide and suicide during the holiday season. It's terrible.
It is. We talked about how competition has penetrated every aspect of our society, and we've even placed ourselves in competition for God's favor. What role does competitive behavior play in the holiday season, more expressively Christmas?
Okay, well, when you meet on Christmas Day, everyone's going to show up with what they got for Christmas that day, mm-hmm. whether it was a kid that Santa brought them the gift or whatever. So I can remember growing up, there was always that. You would go up and all the grandkids, all my cousins, they would have what they got for Christmas. And
you would bring your best toy
yeah.
or whatever it was. And
or who got mom or dad the best gift or who got grandma or grandpa the best gift.
Yeah.
And that's always a huge, and you know, how many people, what about the, you know, did you have the best Christmas party, who had the best dinner, who had the best get together, you know?
I know some where, is my deal making a funny noise? No? Okay. We have adjusted some of our volumes, so we're a little bit confused here. We've changed some stuff here in the studio. We thought we were maybe getting too loud, that some of it was getting too loud. There are some that competition. We had 55 at our gathering. We had 60 people at our house.
Well, and on the flip side, I've even seen those people. We had 10 Christmas parties this holiday season that we had to go to, you know, and they even compete over how many places they were invited.
I have those people, you know, in my extended family who have to tell us every year when they come blowing through the door and toss the gift cards at their mom and their grandparents, and they're like, well, we've got to go, we've got 6 more to go to today, and they just take off. And like last year, they didn't even bother getting the kids out of the car.
If you want to see get an idea, and we think it's so funny, we laugh at it because it's true, but watch the National Lampoon's Christmas.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
With Chevy Chase. Yeah. I have been Chevy Chase.
I'm trying to make the perfect Christmas.
I think that's why that movie is such a classic for so many people, is because even though it's a little bit over the top, it's so relatable.
Don't we sit back, though, and laugh at that? Like, they're so dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
No. But they are, that is an exact depiction.
But you can pretty well name the characters in the movie. You can usually associate relate to someone in your family.
Uncle Eddie is so-and-so.
You. I'm glad he's always you.
Yeah. Let's move on to the positive aspects of the Christmas holiday and the tradition surrounding it. What do you think is the single most positive thing about this holiday? Is it the effect it has on the attitudes of a lot of people?
I don't know. People get cranky around Christmas. Well,
they do in the stores when they're competing. But I mean, I'm talking about generally.
You do see a bigger sense of community. You see a bigger sense of giving.
Generosity level. Yes, yeah, that's definitely
tend to go up.
Yeah, maybe we let down our selfishness just a little bit, you know, and that's a positive thing. Christmas is generally associated as a time when we demonstrate a higher degree of generosity. And ignoring the fact that every charity on the planet's competing for their share of your generosity, do you find yourself in a more giving mood at this time of year?
I am. Yeah. I am much more likely to drop a little spare change in a bucket or whatever as I walk by.
Well, and I'm embarrassed to say, but you know, we actively usually seek out people at Christmas. I don't know why we don't. We're blessed all year long, but it's something about that holiday season that.
But also on the other side of that, we also know they're very much more stressed.
True.
At this time of year than they are any other time of year, especially if it's a mom and dad that's got 3 or 4 kids and they're both working jobs or they're trying to make and they're just not making it happen. You know, that should make us feel really good to be able to say, okay, this one time of year I can relieve some of that stress. I am of my abundance, I can relieve some of that stress, because I think you have to have been where they are to ever really know how they appreciate. Because I've had that done for us when I was raising you girls. I've had people that came and just blessing out of nowhere, just, you know, money or what. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That relieves some of the stress there. 'Tis better to give than receive. It's an old saying that's been associated with this event. And without looking, before you look, did you think it was Bible or Shakespeare?
I thought it was Shakespeare.
Me too.
And I do think he says, 'tis more blessed to give than... I do believe Shakespeare did, but it is that. Actually, Acts 20:35, not to get sidetracked, but this is presented to us to be Luke recording the words of Paul. However, in this passage, Paul says, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. End of quote. However, the Bible doesn't have Jesus recorded as saying this. And this is just another example showing that the Bible is neither a complete or an inerrant document when it comes to God's interaction with humanity.
Mm-hmm. So Luke said, Paul said, Jesus said.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. And I'm not doubting that the Lord said it. But you see?
Right.
That said, do you agree with that concept? It's more blessed to give than to receive?
I think so. I love picking out gifts and buying, you know, with someone in mind.
Well, all we can base this on is how it makes us feel, emotion. Mm-hmm. So does giving feel better than receiving?
It does. I mean, it really does. Especially like when, like, again, my husband and I, we have been, you know, doing a lot of flea marketing and things like that for gifts. And you see that thing and you're like, oh, so-and-so is going to love this. We've got to get it. And like right now, I'm so excited. I'm about to burst because I want to give people their gifts. And
right.
Well, that's good. So yeah, it makes you, it is good. Well, let's turn it upside down just a little bit. Is that somehow a product of our ego? In other words, most of us are a lot more awkward at receiving a gift than we are at giving it, aren't we?
Yes.
Why you always got to ruin it and bring ego into it?
Well, is that uncomfortable feeling we get when we get a gift, especially an unexpected gift, prodding our ego because we didn't get that person anything, or we at least didn't put as much thought into it as the gift, our gift, as they did to our,
so,
for us.
Yeah. Every year, my husband has this obsessive thing that he goes and does, and he gets like 2 $15 gift cards, and he puts them in a Christmas card, and he keeps them in the car because he is terrified that we're going to wind up at the family gathering or something and he will have forgotten someone.
We've all done that, though.
Yeah. So if one of you gets the Subway card, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll know that Steve forgot about us this year.
But that's a good idea. And that keeps, what does that do? That keeps him from being awkward.
Mm-hmm. It does, because he can just, oh, I must have left that one in the car. Yeah, and he writes a name on the front of the card.
That's smart. I like that. Well, for some folks, writing a family Christmas letter, we always think of Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Every
that
time,
episode
every
of Everybody
time.
Loves Raymond. But others, I know it's a tradition because I see that a lot of that. Some folks writing a family Christmas letter is a tradition. Now, I've never been the recipient of one
you
of these
haven't?
Letters. Not as far as I know.
I'm shocked. I get one every year, at least one.
From someone that we're common?
Yeah.
Oh.
A family member?
No, but we used to go to church with them. But I get a letter from them every year.
So, admittedly, I don't know how they work. It seems it might be hard to do this without a little subtle bragging. I mean, what do you think?
Well, they just got new grandkids last year, so there was definitely some bragging.
But that's a good, that's okay. Yeah. That's good. Oh, my grandkids are so smart, and they're so, that's okay, though.
These
I mean, if they didn't do that, if they said, I've got the dumbest grandkids, it's the ugliest, and the, I don't
But you know, it really starts the bragging. Now, we don't have to wait on a Christmas letter. It's all over social media. As soon as people put up their tree, look at my tree. Look
you're
at
true.
My,
that is true. Yeah. And I didn't even bring social media into the conversation about this. Yeah.
I mean, it's already begun now. The Christmas lights on the house, the kids with the elf and the whatever that thing is.
I have my spaceship lit up.
I know. We were coming home the other night and my husband goes, did he turn the UFO on? Like, let's hope so, honey. Let's hope so.
I'll get Tracy to take a picture of it and maybe post it on one of our, maybe this episode or something, and post it as our, as the cover.
I can do that.
Is that hard to do?
No, not hard at all.
And then you'll have an idea what we're, because there's a Bigfoot stand. If you can get the angle where the Bigfoot's standing behind it, that's pretty cool. I think it's probably twisted to everybody else. I once heard of a person who does not buy gifts for anyone at Christmas, but instead sits down and handwrites a personal letter to each person on their Christmas list. This response from the recipients of these letters is pretty incredible. Many of them say it's the gift they cherish most, because after the hustle and bustle of activity, and many of the gifts we got are snugly put away, some never to be touched again, that encouraging personal letter gives the same emotional response every time it's read. What do you think about this as an alternative to purchasing gifts? And how would you feel about getting a letter instead of a gift?
I would love it.
There are, I mean, I would love it too. I love cards.
Now don't say it
I
out of your letters. Don't say it out of your ego. Just
but
say
no,
it.
I really do, and I think it's cool. I know a family that every year, instead of giving each other a gift, they.
I'm sorry, I just added.
It's a nice thing.
Okay.
Every year, instead of giving each other a gift, they do something nice for someone in that person's honor.
Right.
So, and then they give them a card with a little explanation of what
they
did.
Not like Seinfeld.
I know where you were going. That's where I had to laugh, because Seinfeld. George made up he made up the people's society, or the people's and he gave it to all of his co-workers. You have donated to the people's society, and he was getting by with it. Of course, they're all like when they'd get the card, you know, in your name a donation has been made to the human society or something like that. And then his boss said, we've got to throw some money at something this year. How about that human society thing of yours, George? We're going to put $50,000 or whatever it was toward that. Then he was in trouble because
there was nothing.
It didn't really exist.
So it was like the opposite of the I Love Lucy, where they were using the Too Little Old Ladies fund to get to go to Spain with Ricky and Fred. And then it turned out right at the end of it, after they collected all this money, that it was a real charity and they had to turn all the money over to the real charity.
Oh, that'd been funny. For many, it isn't the religious affiliation with Christmas that's so important for them. It's actually a carryover from their childhood, where often, even in the most dysfunctional situations, things seemed to pause for just a moment, and for that short period of time each year, things seemed a little better. What do you think? Are we drawn towards reliving a pleasant memory?
I think so. Christmas was always so peaceful. Like, Mom and Dad would wake us up, because we were not the get up at 5 a.m. and open presents kind of kids. Mom and Dad would wake us up, and we'd have breakfast, and we'd open presents, and like, that was pretty much the one day a year that you didn't have a whole bunch of church stuff, unless it happened to have fallen on Sunday or whatever, and you didn't work on Christmas Day. So everything was really peaceful all day long.
But, you know, and looking back now, and especially with me having kids, I see how much stress it was for you and Mom to make it so peaceful for us.
Well, you won't tell, because I wanted stress-free myself.
Right.
That was... And of course, you know, we used to, I think for a long time, every year we hosted the whole extended family and everything at our house, everything. And that got really hectic. Mm-hmm. That really got out of control. On the other end of the scale, there are those who have suffered tragedy and loss during this time, and they have great difficulty disassociating their memory of pain and loss with the season. Even though happiness and joy is generally associated with this season, there are those who find it a time of magnified loneliness. Often our only solution is to try to invite and immerse those folks in the celebration, but might this in some cases make things worse for them?
I can see how. I just hope that people, because I have done the same thing, I've invited people to be a part of our Christmas, you know, that didn't have anywhere else. I just hope they accepted it with the intention that I meant it. Yeah. You know, you do, sure. You do the best you can with what you know. You know,
I'm thinking, and I'm kindly, I guess this is odd. I'm thinking if I'm going through some grief or something, I really don't want to be in a crowd of people.
Right. Right.
Oh, you that'll know, take your mind off. No, yeah. it doesn't really.
Tabby's daughter, Bailey, she listens to this song, and I can't remember, I don't even know what the name of the song is, but it, the line I always remember is, sometimes I don't want to be happy. Don't hold it against me. Leave me there and let me be sad. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that song because she's like, don't you ever just have, Bailey asked me, she's like, don't you ever just have those days where I'm like, I'm just not in a good mood today. Let me be where I'm at. And I think that's a really healthy thing that we forget sometimes.
I know we're just trying to help, but, you know, sometimes you just have to work through and sort things out. And I know, like I said, the intent of people invite, oh, let's invite so-so. They just lost their husband this year, and she, let's invite. Yeah. Well, then we're making her relive. We're making her observe, be a spectator of a family that's still a family mm-hmm. unit.
And
think
maybe,
of that for a moment. Yeah.
You know, folks, if you're in that position where you've lost someone and you don't, just, it's okay to politely say, I don't think so.
Oh, no, so I'm not ready for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's if you're one of those people that's listening, yeah. It's okay to say, you know, I'm just not ready for that. Thank you. That's so generous. But I'm just really don't think I'm ready for that right
it's
now.
Okay.
And yeah, but often they're so polite, those people, they'll go ahead and put themselves through greater stress and misery. This may sound odd, but Christmas is stressful to me because I'm the worst gift giver in the world. I've never been able to put the kind of thought into gifts that some seem to be able to. I often opt for cash, which is considered to be the greatest faux pas of Christmas there is, and to be so impersonal. Now, what do you think if you're a Christmas misfit like me? What do you do?
First of all, I find this really interesting because some of my most cherished gifts have come from you.
I was thinking the same thing. So,
but not really at Christmas time, though, was it?
I can remember the cedar chest you got me.
I think I built that. No, I had a guy build it. Yeah, I wasn't building it.
The biography of your life that you gave us.
Well, yeah, so that was...
the
my mechanics tool set when I was 11. I loved
that,
that
I lost?
Thing. Yeah,
that
you
I used and lost most
it.
Of the tool.
The CD that you made me of the album that I listened to over and over and over.
Oh, well, so, see, I forgot about doing that.
See,
I didn't think about that. Maybe I'm not such a bad
I don't think you give yourself enough credit, but also I think we just have to say I did the best I could.
Yeah,
and not give ourselves, we can't put ourselves into the turmoil. And trust me, cash is always an accepted.
I don't understand that idea of like cash isn't okay. Every year we give like our tire delivery driver something like a coffee cup and $10 inside of it or $20 inside of it because it's like,
now you've got five drivers this year. You're going to do them all?
Well, whoever gets closest to Christmas wins the coffee cup.
Okay. All right. Are you guys good with scratch-offs?
Yeah. I love scratch-offs. We do that for Steve's mom every year.
I mean, that's to me, that's the ultimate gift that either cheat you or you come out really you either feel really cheated or you
it
feel,
depends is there going to be little writing that says if this is a winner you must split them.
No, I'm not talking about what I always say. I tell people I do. I say I just send people my used scratch offs and I say I was thinking of you when I bought these but sorry you didn't win. And
I had
just
a
send
guy
you
do
this.
That a friend of ours that hi Charles this was you brought me two scratched off scratchers for my graduation president.
Oh,
present.
Yeah.
I still remember that.
Oh, so. I do remember that. Yeah, you said, I thought it was kind of funny myself.
Well, and it had cash in the middle of it. It was just a comical.
So, you guys
thing.
Think I'm okay with just the cash thing?
Cash
just,
is great.
Because
I don't understand.
Why this is my
not...
mentality. If I give it to you on things go on sale after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And if you
and
don't
bills
really
come
know,
due.
Yeah, and if you really don't know what to give someone, at least you're giving them something that's universal. They can make it into what they
yeah.
want.
And that's why I'm a little bit, even the gift card, I don't like to give a specific gift card from a specific place because now they're bound.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Did you realize that about 40% of the gift cards every year never get redeemed?
Really? Which is wild.
Yeah, that is
I
wild.
Always
yes,
use my gift
yes.
cards.
And there's a place online where you can sell your gift card.
Oh,
you
wow.
can sell your gift card. They give like 50% for your gift card. So if you got a gift card, you know. So I'm thinking cash will spend anywhere, won't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not specifically, I don't have any, you know, guys, I don't have any investment in Walmart or Sonic or any of those places that sell the gift, you know, for the gift. Well, I'll go get them a Sonic. Now realize if that person, they eat out at Sonic every week for lunch. Right. Hey, cool. That's a good thought. And it's, but you know, there might be something more pressing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was something that we struggled with like our delivery drivers and stuff. These guys are on the road typically from like 4 a.m. to 4 or 5 p.m. and they're in a big truck that you can't just roll through a drive-through mm-hmm. in or something like that. So you hate to get them something for a restaurant that they may never be able to use.
Right.
I remember one gift that stood out in my mind, and I thought that was really neat. Years ago, some people, a lady, a woman, I remember exactly who she was, and she gave Mom and I a box. All right, it had some cookies she had made in it. It had, like, the ingredients for a 7-bean soup. Mm-hmm. It had, and all of this was, like, putting fruit jars and everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now that's just awful neat. It had packages, not a whole box, and just packages of cocoa in there, different exotic. Had, I think maybe it had a little summer sausage and cheese in it, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm one of those, I always love to get those summer sausage and cheese packs. Yeah. You know, those boxes that you get.
Those are expensive nowadays.
They have gone crazy.
One of my customers every year for Christmas, they put out a little box. And it always has a note on it that says, have a date night on us. And it always has 2 chocolate bars, 2 things of popcorn. And it'll have like 2 different kinds of chips in it and a pack of crackers, and it's like a little date night box. Oh, it's like just add your own movie.
But that's sweet because they, you know, just something original.
Let's talk about Christmas cards, especially those which don't even rate a signature. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying this. Perhaps even those which have a check or cash in them, like I often do. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt guilty and tried to put the emphasis on the beauty of the card while your real interest is in that $50?
I'm going to be honest. I love cards.
I mean,
even when they don't have money in them.
This is why I struggle with Christmas cards. I buy Christmas cards every year and I'm going to send them out. I'm not okay with just signing.
They may not get there, you know.
I know. Well, it's because I don't ever send them out. I can't just sign our name and put it in the mail. I feel like I need to write personalize it. And then I get so overwhelmed by the thought of
exhausted.
Every card that I'm gonna have to sit down and hand, so I struggle.
So you couldn't do the letter thing.
Maybe if I just did one letter for everybody, but I don't like to.
No, I mean the letter thing, like every individual, everyone on your list, and you write to them.
I would have to start like I couldn't wait until December.
Start in January.
Yeah,
one person per
week.
But
I think it's a great idea if I would just disciplined enough to sit down and work on them.
Do we make a judgment about the people? It depends on which side of the fence, if you're church or, do we make a judgment about the people who send a purely secular card as opposed to those who send deeply religious-themed cards?
Oh, man, I used to be one of those that really judged those Happy Holidays people.
Happy Holidays or Merry Xmas, or it had Santa Claus all over it instead of the nativity scene.
But, at the point of that
now. Did I
hit a nerve
there? Did I hit a point that everybody... Yeah. That's ever been through the church thing. Look at that and you make that judgment. And you're making a judgment about, because usually it's somebody that that's not really close to you, and you're making some judgment about what kind of person they are. Mm-hmm. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful?
It is, and I didn't realize, I always say I love receiving cards. I didn't mean to cut you off. But it just hit me because I always hang the cards up in my office every year. But there was an episode of Keeping Up Appearances.
It's a British sitcom.
If you've never seen it, it is funny because it's funny there again because
we all know those
Some of us
She got 112 Christmas cards, and a lot of them she had actually sent to herself.
Yeah, like 100 of them she had mailed just so the postman. Now, you're talking about ego. That whole show's about ego.
It is.
Overinflated ego. That's all that's about. And we're laughing at it. And we do that.
Mm-hmm. We do the same things. Maybe on a smaller scale, but we do the same
things. Well, it's an exaggerated.
Yes.
And speaking of ego, while I know it is totally an ego thing, I do love Christmas cards because I love that feeling of, hey, I thought about you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, hey, or whatever.
My scratch-offs do the same thing.
That's
true. Even the ones I've scratched off. I was thinking of you
While I scratch, that's true.
I bought this thinking of you, but you didn't win.
We're all getting scratchers for Christmas.
Okay, and a final note. Three of the things you enjoy most about Christmas holiday and three of the things you dread about Christmas holiday.
All right, let's do things you love first, Tabby.
Christmas morning, I love shopping for gifts, and I love the cold, maybe snowy weather, hopefully, that never seems to happen on Christmas, but
I love,
I hold out hope.
We always go out as a family, and by as a family, I mean me and my husband tag along with Tabby's family, and go out Christmas light looking every year.
That's a good thing, yeah.
And I love the excitement of our personal compound family get together. It's always a lot of fun. And I like the sort of buzz around, are we going to have a white Christmas? Because living where we live in Arkansas, I've had maybe two or three in my life.
I think the average is one every 10 years.
Yeah, and I'm 30, so that would be about right.
We should be getting ready for another one because Blake was little the last time we had
it. It was like his
first
birthday.
I want to be honest with you. I don't even know if I want a white Christmas after that 2 feet of snow we got last year that stayed on here all the time.
I mean, it could just like snow enough to make the ground white for a little bit.
Mine would be that people seem to smile more. It's the attitudes of people. Yeah. That's probably my favorite thing. People's attitudes a little better. I have a real difficulty, as I said, I have over maybe who knows what's behind it, but I have a real difficulty just completely getting in the Christmas, you know, that I just overwhelmed by the Christmas spirit, you know.
Which is funny because you live with a woman who is like the queen of Christmas.
Oh, I know. I know.
Now, as far as dreading, what are the negative
Christmas shopping?
The stress, any of the stress that goes with it, and that's even the stress of people's in the stores being ugly, which I don't go in there anyway, but I see it, you know, and people just, the pushing, the shoving, the, you know, we say, oh, well, we love the hustle and bustle. Are we talking about the hustle and bustle of excitement, or are we talking about the hustle and bustle of fighting each other over gifts in the store?
Right.
You know, that's my downers, you know, things like that's downers. Anytime people mistreat other people, it bothers me. Mm-hmm. It just bothers. And another downer of mine is, again, we talked about that earlier, all of these places that are preying on your generosity.
Yeah. Yes. It's just, yes. But, you know, shopping this year hasn't been, like I said, it's bad for Steve and I because we haven't been really shopping
commercially. It hasn't been for me because you guys convinced me it's cash or scratch-offs.
Yep, that's the way to go.
I want my scratch-off unscratched.
Okay.
Get her a really complicated one, like one of those crossword ones where she's got to scratch every letter.
I don't understand some of that stuff, yeah.
So, another thing that I completely dread is, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people think about, I dread the gatherings with food because, like, my husband has diet restrictions. Yeah. He's diabetic. And nobody, well, I get really used to, honestly, what happens is here on the compound, everyone is really careful to make sure that Steve has something he can eat, that it's something, you know, healthy-ish for him. And then we go to larger family gatherings and everyone's like, oh, well, I guess if you can't eat the pumpkin pie with the frosting on it or whatever, you know, that you're just not going to eat. And it's hard for a lot of people.
Oh, you can do it this one time. It's not going to hurt you today. And then he goes home and his sugar is 350, the next morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt them.
Exactly.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think we just need to figure out ways to make it less and less stressful. And to me, one of the great ways with me, I make no Christmas gatherings except our one little deal on Christmas morning here on the compound. I've made it because I was one of those people that, and I wasn't bragging about it. I was sick of Christmas by the time I made this Christmas party, that Christmas party, this Christmas. Every organization I was involved with was having a Christmas thing, and it's like,
no more.
Yeah.
That's me. I have eliminated most of my stress around Christmas because we just don't. We don't go to family. We don't go to extended gatherings. Christmas Day, you guys come down Christmas morning, and then the rest of the day is just me and DJ and the kids just enjoying our time.
And maybe we need to talk about, we'll have an episode one time, but have you ever noticed how everything we do in this society in this day has to revolve around food?
We really should talk about that, especially as Americans.
And we wonder why we have an eating. Mm-hmm. We wonder why. Because we're making emotional attachments to that food. Mm-hmm. We're making all of this, and that food becomes part of the emotional attachment. Yep. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. $10 scratch-offs or $2 scratch-offs?
I'm going to go with the $2.
Yeah.
As always, that's a good way to end this. As always, may the unconditional grace, peace, and love of the divine be on and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.